Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Couple of things today. 2016 looks to be on track as the warmest year on record across the globe, according to the World Meteorological Institute, beating out contender 2015, which beat out contender 2014. Would we call that a trend, perhaps? Well, not everyone does. That data was considerably less of a surprise than the result of the presidential election last week. We can agree upon that. Perfect moment to put the Environmental Protection Agency on the endangered species list, right? That economy-strangling federal regulator run amok, according to conservative critics. But the EPA was established by Republican President Nixon on December 2nd, 1970. There was an overwhelming bipartisan vote of Congress to pass the Clean Air and Clean Water Acts. Today, there are fears that President-elect Trump plans on dismantling the EPA as part of a historic deregulation initiative. He has appointed conservative Myron Ebell to his environmental transition team. Ebell heads the Competitive Enterprise Institute. It's a nonprofit with funding from the energy industry, and he speaks with contempt about climate change advocates.
Another way to look at the global warming movement is to consider what they're trying to accomplish. They are trying to create an alternative reality.
Speaking of alternative reality, China's President Xi Jinping this week warned Donald Trump against abandoning progress on climate change and the terms of a deal agreed to last December with President Obama, and insisted that China does not believe that climate change is a hoax. William K. Riley is senior advisor at TPG Capital, former president of the World Wildlife Fund. He was administrator for the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency under George H.W. Bush from 1989 to 1993, and he says the EPA's legacy is unquestionably a proud one.
EPA's legacy is one of the most successful of any institution of the United States government. If you look back at what the air and the waters were like around our nation's cities 30, 40 years ago when President Nixon created EPA by executive order, it's a fantastic change. It's a transformation of our environment. EPA did that not alone, but with business, with taxpayer money, with support of a lot of other people, the press, most notably NGOs, non-governmental organizations. And we have seen all of those improvements, and I'm talking about in terms of emissions of air, double digit, 90% reduction in lead emissions in this country, and lead's a particularly pernicious pollutant. We've seen that at the same time as the economy has grown 230%. So the claims that we were going to hobble the economy with these new proposals, which were made by the auto industry in the early 70s, and then we heard it even from the budget director, Dick Darman, in the administration I served in, George H.W. Bush, who predicted the Clean Air Act amendments were going to cause a depression in the 1990s. Well, it didn't happen. It strengthened the economy. It's created a number of new industries. It's very important to the health, the public health of the world. And children have grown up, I think, much healthier as a result of it.
What do you see as the possible change under a Trump administration at this point?
Well, the president-elect has made it clear, and others around him have amplified that the Clean Power Rule, which addresses existing coal-fired power plants, is not going to be supported. It's now under consideration by the Court of Appeals in Washington. It's been challenged by some 19 states. And I think that probably it will be, well, there'll be a decision by that court, and then it was expected it would go before the Supreme Court of the United States, which had issued a stay on its implementation. I would expect that the administration will simply withdraw its support for it and begin the process of discontinuing the regulation, which itself is a somewhat cumbersome process. It involves going back to alter the regulation, take public comment on it, and withdraw it from circulation. That will be a profound loss, in my view, to the effort to address carbon dioxide and to avert climate change.
Do you see the EPA being dismantled as an agency under the Trump administration based on what you've heard?
The Republican Party platform commits to do that. It commits to delegate to the states full authority regarding pollution control to require that congressional committees specifically approve new regulations and that there be some overall entity that tries to direct policy and priorities. I think that indicates some lack of familiarity with the institution itself. President Nixon created EPA as an executive order by combining entities from five other agencies, water from interior, pesticides from agriculture, and so forth. The statutes that it administers, which are the ones we're familiar with, air, water, safe drinking water, toxic substances control, waste management, each of them gives to the administrator very substantial authority and responsibility. So simply dismantling the agency, I'm not sure how that would be undertaken.
And those laws were passed with huge majorities.
You know, almost all of them passed with very substantial. I mean, we're talking like 8 to 9 to 1 for the Clean Air Act, for example, and that I oversaw and the amendments in 1990. That era may be over. On the other hand, there's quite a bit of evidence that the public is supportive and has been through the Arab oil embargo, through recessions and everything else. 80 to 85% of the public supports, for example, the Clean Air Act or its strengthening. So there's a question how much the public will stand for in terms of dismantling that or reducing the requirements and making emissions more free.
There's a whole group of nonprofits in Washington that are devoted to fighting what they call a climate change industry or a climate change movement. Do you see their participation in the transition team as a threat to the whole consensus that exists that you've talked about just there on human-caused climate change, and that the U.S. would set itself at odds with much of the scientific world?
Well, I'm aware of that industry and that that concern that carbon dioxide control and climate change is a hoax, as the president-elect has called it. You know, my sense and my hope is that as the president-elect gets briefings, which he, to my knowledge, has never had from NOAA and NASA and EPA and the National Academies of Science, that he will appreciate more the science of climate change and the substantial consensus among atmospheric scientists all over the world. 11 National Academies of Science have opined on this issue and have concluded that the world is warming, which there's incontrovertible evidence of, and that humans are making a contribution to that, are helping cause it. So that industry, it seems to me, is so at odds with conventional science, with mainstream science, that over time, I would expect its influence will wane. It may be, however, that we need a catastrophe. We need some of the things that are in the models to actually happen and be attributed by the scientific community to climate change. They would say right now that some of the major storms that we've had, flooding and very volatile dynamic rains, for example, are perfectly consistent with the models. Sea level rise is also. The country, by a lot of reports, gets this, but not to the degree that they're making demands on their legislators to do something about it.
During the Reagan years, there was an attempt to nullify the EPA's power. I remember Administrator Ann Gorsuch having a lot of controversial confrontations with the Democratic Congress over attempting to nullify the EPA. How did that go, and what lessons were learned during that period of trying to reverse course?
What happened was a deregulator, Ann Gorsuch Burford, was put in as administrator of EPA. The experience was not a happy one for the Reagan administration. She was fired after 2 years. Her assistant administrator for waste went to prison. The Secretary of the Interior, who also had the same ideology and energy, was also dismissed after 2 years. And the Reagan administration turned to Bill Ruckelshaus, a very respected first administrator of EPA, and basically wanted him to right the ship. Come in, reestablish morale, reestablish the public integrity and respect of the institution, which he did. And for the rest of their term, you couldn't say they gave a priority to the issues that EPA was responsible for, but they had learned that it needed to be in safe hands. We needed to carry out the statutes that existed for the integrity of the institution and the respect that the administration would have for actually caring about the environment. That's a lesson that I think future administrations would do well to learn, and particularly the incoming one.
And so tops on the briefing for Donald Trump would be that lesson, that history, in your view, that they should revisit that period of the 1980s.
There are people around who were part of that, who were part of the White House staff in those days, and they understood that putting in a deregulator into an agency, the responsibility of which is regulation, is not the smartest thing to do.
William K. Riley is a senior advisor at TPG Capital, former president of the World Wildlife Fund, was administrator for the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency under George H.W. Bush from 1989 to 1993. Thanks so much.
Pleasure to be here.